Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It was a shocking and sobering pair of reports published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. From 2000 to 2020, black communities saw 1.6 million, let me say that again, 1.6 million more deaths than the white population in this country. Tonight, our Medical Monday conversation takes a look at the reports and the impact on the black community. My guests are Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Coalition for Trust in Health and Science, and Dr. Maya Rocky Moore Cummings, distinguished presidential research fellow at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. Lines are open if you have a comment, if you have a question, if you have something to say about these reports at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You are welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Rocky Moore Cummings, thanks for joining the program. Good to talk to you again.
Harold, it's always great to be with you.
And Dr. Tuckson, good to talk to you as well. Dr. Tuckson, you and I had a brief conversation about this report last week when it first came out. You got a preview of the reports. I thought they were just really eye-popping, these numbers. Why do you believe these things are happening?
They're happening for a combination of reasons, and that's one of the challenges here, is that it is multifactorial. It is not simple. But it also means that there are multiple ways in which we can address it. Number one, the reason why it's happening is because of the effects of structural racism in this country. There's no question that we now have all of the data that we need to have that tells us that the way, the housing that we are subjected to, the jobs that we have, the lack of education, the lack of fresh fruits and vegetables in grocery stores conveniently accessible to our community, all of these structural elements in our society, on top of which is this horrible problem of stress. Black people live under a constant hormonal activity because of the stress that comes with living in this country. So for all of those reasons, it is there. However, secondly, which we need to understand and address, is that we have to do a better job of making appropriate choices and decisions about what we put in our bodies, what we don't put in our bodies, and whether we exercise our bodies. So we have some issues that we have to deal with, but saying that does not excuse the issue, that this is an American issue, a national disgrace, and one that requires a much greater national response.
Dr. Cummings, one of the things that these two reports presented, not just the health issue, but it also talked about the economic impact and the social impact. And we will do a deep dive on these things. But at first blush, it appears that these numbers and the things that are coming out of this report are absolutely devastating. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, absolutely. The country is losing billions of dollars a year in basically preventable deaths, and people who are actually whose lives and quality of lives could be so much better. They could be more productive in terms of contributing to the economy if they actually had their health. And so, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, structural racism is real. We experience it in our communities, in our jobs. If we have jobs, we experience it in the healthcare system. And we experience it in the political system now. So the question for me was, what was happening during this period of 1999 to 2000 where the study of excess deaths occurred? We do know that in 2010, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act actually passed as a result of what we otherwise known as Obamacare. The study shows that there was a decline from 2000 to 2011 for men, 2000 to 2015 for women, but then a period of basically stasis from the early 2010s through 2020 when it exploded. We do know in 2020 COVID hit, And so the deaths that were excess from there should be expected. But the fact of the matter is that we were more vulnerable because of several factors, one of which is in 2016, when Trump took office in 2017, he began to dismantle Obamacare. And the extra coverage that we actually received as a result of Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, was actually in the process of being rolled back when COVID hit. So, you know, we can actually point to some additional causes that are political, I think, that increased our exposure during that fateful March of 2020 when COVID hit.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about two reports published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, the storied medical association that talks about the excess deaths of African Americans in this country between 1999 and 2020, some 1.6 million African Americans more than their white communities. What do you think about this? And what might you do to keep your family healthy? Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the other things, Dr. Tuckson, that came out of this report, these reports, is that the population that was most impacted is black men. That, for some reason, doesn't surprise me. Your thoughts about that?
It is unfortunate that it doesn't surprise us. But black men, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of the issue of stress and the tension that we live under, is extraordinary. And as a result, so many of us find ourselves medicating ourselves away from that stress through substance abuse, alcoholism, and just this predisposition that so many of us have towards violence, towards each other. This has become part of our culture almost, as in terms of our rap music and so much else, where we seem to celebrate brandishing guns that get used against other black people. So that stress and that tension is it. But what also is happening with black men is we generally, and the statistics are pretty clear, we do not go for preventive screenings. We don't keep up with our health. We're not checking our numbers to see what our blood pressure is, what our blood sugar and glucose levels are, getting access to early regular treatment diagnoses for prostate issues. We don't take care of ourselves, and it's usually the women in our lives, whether it's our mothers, whether it's our wives or our girlfriends, they are usually the ones that are pushing us towards our own protection of our health. So we as black men, there are reasons why we act like we act. However, those reasons really are not good enough anymore for us to be able to continue to kill our own selves or kill each other.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about the JAMA report from the Journal of the American Medical Association about black mortality rates compared to white mortality rates during the first two decades of this century. Let's go to Torrance, calling from Brandywine. Torrance, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So basically, I just called in just to say I'm a young male. I'm 28 years old. I come from a small community. It's Mount Rainier, right outside of Washington, D.C. And my biggest thing is that we're not taught to go to the gym. We're not taught to, you know, research what is your history. You know, what did your grandparent die from? What did your great-grandparent die from? A lot of black people, they like to eat the collard greens with pork in it, with you know, they like to eat the chillings. They like to eat the pig feet. But it's like, okay, you eat that stuff, and if you come from a family like my family, my mom is preaching, oh, well, grandma ate this. Great-grandma ate this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, they lived to be into their 80s, but it's like we're in a different day and age where we don't necessarily know what people are doing to the food. And we already know that pork is not healthy. My grandfather, he tells me straight up all the time, He has not touched pork, I think, since he was probably 16 or 17 years old. And he's 78. He has dealt with, I think, with prostate cancer. But that's also something that a lot of men don't know to go get screened for, prostate cancer. It's like, we don't know this stuff. So it's like, unless you're taught this stuff, you don't know to go and get screened. You know, a lot of young males don't go to the doctor.
Yeah. Well, Torrence, thank you so much for your comments. And I hope that you are currently and will continue to pursue your best health practices. Dr. Cummings, your thoughts about what Torrence just said. He said a lot, but, you know, the thing that really kind of struck me, and I think, and everything that he said, I think has a great deal of substance. But the first thing he said was, you know, young black men are not necessarily taught to go to the gym and taught to exercise. I would add, unless they are being encouraged to pursue athletic prowess, but not necessarily taught to exercise and go to the gym to increase their health.
I think that that's true. I mean, for 10 years, I led a $16 million initiative for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation called Leadership for Healthy Communities. And our goal was to actually educate the public about childhood obesity prevention. This was, as you well know, the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, had an initiative called Let's Move that was also focused on childhood obesity prevention. And yes, I mean, what the studies show is, I mean, 82% of African-American women are either overweight or obese. As you well know, obesity is a leading indicator for a number of preventable chronic health diseases that that disproportionately afflict our communities. And so we have something to deal with, as Reed said earlier, with regards to our own behavior. But we also live within systems that don't encourage healthy eating or active living.
Explain that.
So, for example, I'm sitting here in West Baltimore as I speak to you right now, smack dab in the middle of a food desert. Food deserts are places where it's easier to get a greasy piece of fried chicken than it is to get a fresh apple, because we don't have as easy as access to, fresh fruits and vegetables. Certainly produce and other things that can support our health in a healthier way. When you have corner stores and fast food restaurants that populate your communities disproportionately, and it's cheap food, people don't know that it's unhealthy food. They also don't know that we're disproportionately targeted by the fast food industry and the basically the snack industry. And soda industry for these unhealthy foods and beverages. And so with that, we have to find our way out of this by, encouraging each other to understand more about healthy nutrition and healthy active lives. Hmm. You know, the fact of the matter is that we don't know some of the basics, and we should. I argue that it should be a part of the curriculum for grade school and middle school. We also need to do more in terms of primary prevention, I think, as a system overall. Although the Obamacare was a step in the right direction, it's not enough. I do think that we need to be looking at wellness insurance as an additive part of a comprehensive healthcare system in this country so that people can actually have deeply subsidized or free access to those life-saving amenities like gym memberships and other things that actually help people live healthier, active lives. So there are things that we need to be doing systemically and individually to work towards better health.
Dr. Tuckson, I want you to talk about what that young man said as well, but I need to take a break. Andrew calling from Southeast, we're going to talk to you next. Please do not hang up. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast right on our website after 8:30 every night, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This important conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. On this Medical Monday, we continue our conversation about a pair of reports published in the Journal of the American Medical Association last week. From 1999 to 2020, black communities saw 1.6 million more deaths than the white population in this country. We're talking about it, my guests. Our Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Coalition for Trust in Health and Science, and Dr. Maya Rocky Moore Cummings, Distinguished Presidential Research Fellow at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. Lines are open. Please keep trying if they are busy. I promise I will get to you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, Dr. Tuckson, I want you to talk to me about the thing that struck you most about that last caller and what he said.
Well, first of all, I appreciate him for what he said and how well he said it. I would say these things. Number one, listen, folks. There is not any of us out there that does not know that we're supposed to eat healthy and what the elements of eating healthy are. We know it. We know what we're supposed to avoid, and we know what is good for us and what is not. So we know. We know you're supposed to exercise, and we know you're supposed to exercise regularly. These are things that we know. The issue is, do we have the will to act on it? Now, I thought Dr. Cummings was very, very spot on when she describes the problems of trying to act appropriately when you don't have healthy foods easily available to you, or when the recreation department, his budget has been cut back and you don't have the recreation centers open in a convenient way. Despite that, there still is no excuse. We can push the coffee table back in the living room and do our sit-ups and do our push-ups. We can find ways of not eating the worst stuff and eat healthy things. We can still work hard to go to the grocery stores where they are and avoid always going to the fast food store. So what I'm trying to say is that I appreciated him. I think he was spot on. But let's stop making excuses as we fight to overcome the structural issues that Dr. Cummings clearly laid out. And that has got to be job one on our black political agenda. We have got to do that. But while we are fighting that, we have got to take control over our own lives. If black lives matter, and they do, they have to matter to us first. And there are things that we should be doing and can do, even though that many of those things are made more difficult by the structure of racism in our society.
I got to push back on something you said, though, Dr. Tuckson, and this is anecdotal, but I feel really strongly about this. You say we know.
Right.
There are some we's who do. But I, you know, a dear friend of mine who works in an underserved food desert community and is responsible for feeding children who may not otherwise have anything to eat, when they provide, this is, you know, U.S. government subsidized mangoes and dragon fruit and other kinds of really healthy food that has that those families, black families in this community, have not seen, and they say, we have excess, come get it. And those mothers will say, what is this? It's a mango. What am I supposed to do with this? You eat it. I'm not going to eat that. When the children are given fresh food, you know, here, take an orange, take an apple with you. She says they take it and then they end up in the trash on the way home. That we, Dr. Tuckson, that you talk about, some folks who, not all the we's know.
I'd like to add to that.
Go ahead.
I think that we are ignorant also about basic nutrition, like the difference between carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. I mean, you ask anybody on the street, you know, where I live, about the difference between these two and these three things, and they can't tell you. And they don't know what impact it has on your body. They can't. They don't know that sugar is a carbohydrate. They just don't know. And so, you know, we have a lot of education to do, a lot of things that we have to learn about how to be healthy. And that, I think, is going to have to start with a mass education effort.
Well, I don't disagree with you, too. What my point is, and it remains, educating the black community for generations, particularly through our churches, barbershops, and all other places, that people know that you're not supposed to eat the fast foods as your main source of food. People know that this is unhealthy food. It's in the atmosphere. People talk about it. We've been talking about the black community's diet and our predilection for heavily fatty foods and so forth for generations. So my point is that while I appreciate that down to the level of specificity that you're getting at, that there are those issues, but we also know that we're supposed to eat healthy and have an idea about it. So all I'm trying to get to here is the people listening to this show today, while we are clearly have more work to do, hard work to do, to overcome these structural issues that we've been discussing, we also have to remember that we have some latitude for choice ourselves. I am not prepared to say to the black community, just sit back and wait for all these problems to be resolved while I'm dedicating my life to resolving those problems. But we have to decide today, I'm not going to smoke that cigarette anymore. I'm not going to be abusing alcohol today as a way of coping with this stress. I'm going to find other ways. I'm going to deal with my mental health challenges. We have got to take responsibility for as much of our lives as we can as individuals, but also as partners to each other. So that young man, as smart as he was, that's the person he needs to, and I'm sure he is, going around to his friends, his church group, his barbershop, and sending that message forward. We have got to take control over the parts of our lives that we can. And that's our responsibility as we fight against these other issues.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Andrew, thanks for hanging on. Calling from Southeast D.C. Andrew, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to make a couple of comments.
Sure.
One, piggybacking behind the doctor. I mean, I believe he's correct in a lot of ways that we do need to take responsibility. We can't keep hanging on by the thread. We got to get up. We got to move. We got to be a people to get involved in the political and economic struggle. If we keep on taking these pacifiers, then that's how come we're going to get obesity in a high number, and we're going to get mortality in a high number. We got to stop being pacified. Stop looking for something and get out and touch other people, because the information is definitely valid about healthiness. It's valid, and it's been valid for the last 30 years. So people that's not getting the ear for, they aren't putting themselves in the right positions. We got to get out of the stereotype of party every day. Life is just a bowl of cherries. No, it's work needs to be done.
Okay.
We are stuck. We are stuck as a nation of people. We are stuck.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We could certainly talk, Dr. Cummings, on and on about the health piece, and there's still more to discuss before this program ends tonight. But I do want to go back to the social and the economic impact of, you know, 1.6 million deaths. That is more than the population of the District of Columbia, twice, more than twice that of the District of Columbia. That's a lot of people. And when you look at the economic power of 1.6 million black people, men, women, young people, older people, and all of the people in between, what is lost is staggering. And not only what was lost, but when you look at what could have come out of that 1.6 million black people, Dr. Cummings.
Yeah. So your caller just said something that just stuck with me, and that was the word stuck. And he's absolutely correct when it comes to economics, that we are stuck. If you look at it any which way, in many ways, we are stuck. If you're looking at the racial wealth gap, you know, for African Americans, when I first started tracking this in the early 2000s, we had approximately 12 cents for every dollar of wealth held by the typical white family. It went down to 5 cents after the 2008 global recession. And frankly, we haven't recovered robustly from that at all in the years since. And so we are looking at, and our home ownership rates have, you know, certainly declined and have not recovered from the early 2000s when we were targeted. In our lifetimes, we saw wealth stripped from our communities through the mortgage crisis and the subprime mortgage debacle. And so when we're talking about economics and lives lost, we're talking about productivity, people who could have contributed all kinds of things to our economy, not just in terms of their talent, but also in terms of certainly their treasure. Gone, simply gone. And so we have, unfortunately, a part of structural racism here in this country is that we have become accustomed to, and we have let the system allow these excess deaths and basically disregard our lives as a source of contribution to our economy. And that simply can't continue with the changing demography of this country. Now, certainly AI and technology is coming online just as people of color were actually projected to be the majority of the U.S. workforce in 2024. So it's going to be interesting to me to see how the economy actually can continue to thrive if we're actually trying to sideline not just our workforce, but certainly our growing, the percentage of our black and brown people who are expected in the workforce in the years to come.
I think you make an interesting point because, as an aside, the writer's strike that has stranded, new television production, coming out of Hollywood and New York, their biggest concern is the impact of artificial intelligence and their creativity. And so we're not talking about mostly black people, we're talking about mostly white writers. So it seems like everyone is concerned about that. And if the old adage holds true that when, white people get a cold, black people get, pneumonia, this is just another side of that. So I think you make an excellent point. Let me go back to the phone lines. Wanda, calling from D.C. Wanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Wanda, are you there? Wanda, give me a call back if you can. One of the things, Dr. Tuckson, that you mentioned last week, when I first asked you about this, and I wanted to talk about this, and this is really, really important because this study talks about, 1999, 2000, all the way up to 2020. But you said that there was a shift during the COVID pandemic. Explain that as far as the disparity between black and white deaths.
Good. And this is why I make such a strong point about taking control over our own lives and not waiting for the white man to save us. And what we learned is right after this report stopped looking at this data in 2020, in 21, what we saw was when the black community mobilized, thanks to people like you and the Daily Drum with so many of the shows you allowed us to do during the pandemic, because of the organization of our church assets across the country, black fraternal and sorority organizations, all of our social network got mobilized. And what we found was after we had such a slow start, which Dr. Cummings clearly indicated earlier in the show, we closed the gap in disparities for first for being vaccinated against COVID. That has never happened before in any disease over any of these years that we've been studying it. For the first time in 2021, the black community organized itself, and we closed that gap in being vaccinated. What was the result of it? The result is black life expectancy in 2021 was better than white America. We not only caught them, but we beat them. We beat them because we protected our lives from that, from the COVID pandemic. And now it is white people that are dying more often since COVID than black community. And that's why, Harold, it is so important to make the point that when we decide, despite the barriers, despite the fact that we didn't have the money that the rest of the society did, when we way out of no way, we've done that all of our lives. We saved black life. We can seize our own life even as we fight for the resources that we deserve.
Speaking of resources, Dr. Tuckson, I do want to talk to you about health care resources. I want to talk to you about those. We talked about food desert, but healthcare deserts where there aren't enough hospitals or healthcare centers. I mean, even as we look to what is happening in the D.C. metro, we know that there's a sparkling new hospital out in Largo in Prince George's County. There's a new hospital that is coming to Southeast D.C. Just today in Alexandria, a mental health care center. There was a ribbon cutting for that to address those mental health emergencies to take the pressure off of the police, for example, and to deal specifically with those emergency centers. But we still have a deficit for the simplest thing, dentistry, eye exams for our community. That's expensive stuff to deal with the disparities, Dr. Tuckson.
Well, that is for sure. But one of the things that I want to, this gives me a chance, is to amplify a point that Dr. Cummings made earlier also about access to insurance. One of the terrible things about the losing of the COVID public health emergency legislation is about 7 to 13 million people will fall off the Medicaid rolls around this country, state by state. And that's going to be a significant issue. But what we are seeing also, though, is that healthcare, especially for things like dental care, mental health, and others, are still going to be challenges for us going forward. And we need to be facing up to those challenges very, very intensely. Because let's be clear, healthcare is going to increasingly be more and more expensive. It is inevitable that healthcare would be more expensive simply because the costs continue to skyrocket and the average American is struggling to be able to pay those bills, which is a further reason why we're going to have to fight for the legislation that expands Obamacare, as Dr. Cummings has mentioned. We have to be working with our legislators intensely as if our lives depended on it, and they do. But the second thing is we're going to have to take care of ourselves and make sure that we don't get sick enough to have to need these services in the first place. We've got to come together.
But how do we address that with all of the political misinformation and disinformation that comes out and continues to come out? I mean, there was a time, and everyone on this call is old enough to remember, when you had to get your vaccination, they had that great big old spooky looking ray gun when you were in school, and it was, in your arm, and they gave you a lollipop or something like that, and you kept it moving. But now, everything that modern science develops that's supposed to save your life is under political pressure, Dr. Towson?
And I'm going to tell you who's going to pay the price for it the most. This makes me so sad I want to cry sometimes. It's going to be our children, because all that nonsense that was promulgated around the COVID vaccine, specifically by especially the Russian bots and the Proud Boys who infiltrated our social media systems, and some black people who trumpeted this stuff on their own, means that they're now turning their attention to trying to get people to not vaccinate their children. There's a guy getting ready to run for president of the United States for the Democratic Party named Robert Kennedy Jr. He has made a fortune on promulgating this kind of nonsense, anti-black children survival nonsense. And he's going to be out there trumpeting it yet again, telling black parents not to vaccinate their children from preventable illness. We have a lot of negative people out here who are trying to foment mischief. But the one thing, Harold, that is important to note, the data is unequivocal. Because we were able to, despite all the challenges, got our people vaccinated against COVID, thank God we did, because the data is clear. We saved our lives, while the white community, particularly in those very red Republican counties, where their politicians told them to deny the existence of COVID and to not do what was necessary. And now we're seeing they killed their own people. They killed their own people.
Dr. Cummings, what do both of these reports say about us as a, you know, as a black community? You said you're at home in West Baltimore. I live in Northeast Baltimore, and you know what the streets are saying in our community about health, financial literacy, because this isn't just about the deaths of 1.6 million more black folks. There is so much more to this report, which, by the way, I will be posting on our website after 8:30 for those of you who are interested in reading it, and you should. But what do you believe these reports say about us as a community?
Well, in the eyes of our larger America, I think that it's an indicator that we are still seen as disposable people by the system. And I think that too many of our population, our people, have internalized that negative message, and they are desperately trying to, you know, get through life, and through, you know, of course, if you're in Baltimore, you know that there's a lot of addiction issues. There's a lot of not just food and eating and exercise. There are other issues that plague us, too, gun violence as well. So Reed mentioned this earlier, that we have issues that are connected to stress and despair in our community, I think, that are largely a reflection of the internalized racism that we encounter in this nation. And I do think that Reed also touched on the nature of the solution. Yes, it is absolutely about us rallying around each other to basically save ourselves. And we save ourselves through education. We save ourselves through political participation. We save ourselves by changing our behaviors in ways that we know that will extend our lives. And we save ourselves by supporting each other. Because we know, more so than anyone else, the challenges that we face as a community. And I think that we know that we're going to actually have to build a bridge for ourselves to get to the next, basically a future where our children and their children have even better opportunities than we did.
Dr. Tuckson, you talked about educational campaigns, but for those who aren't listening to the Dr. Reed Tuckson's or the Dr. Maya Rocky Moore Cummings or even, you know, Harold Fisher on the Daily Drum, how else can we get this information out to members of our community to change hearts and minds, to change the, you know, the pig feed and eating and the Newport smoking and the Chitlin eating and the non-exercising members of our community?
It's going to be, I think, and it has to be, as we learned in COVID, it's going to have to be the people themselves. It's going to be the matron of the church congregation, talking to the other members of the church. It's going to be the block. She may not have any MD or no D, but the person who sets the standard for what goes on in their community. So that when we see a pregnant woman walking down the street with a cigarette dangling out of her mouth, somebody has the ability to, without getting shot, say something to that person. It's going to be the barbershop and the beauty salon. We've found what an effective place it is when we have those informed conversations. So it is going to be, as we learned in the pandemic, it's going to be us talking to each other. And what the responsibility of health professionals like me, Dr. Cummings, and others is to supply those community influencers with facts, with the information, so that they will know what the truth is and then be able to carry it forward. We have to do this as a combined collective community. And it's not going to be a one-shot thing. It's not a single solution. It's going to require a combination of things working all together.
What do you think is a solution to continue to keep these numbers turned around, Dr. Cummings?
As I mentioned earlier, I do think that we need to be moving towards universal health care, truly universal health care. We need to be doing an add-on of wellness insurance. We need to, with all these nice little apps and websites that we've got nowadays and technological prowess and AI coming online, you can't tell me that there's not an ingenious solution that can actually create fingertip access for free for people who need information about how to eat healthy or how to exercise properly or how to live their best lives. So, there are things that we're going to have to build. There are things that we're going to have to push politically. There are things that we're going to have to do individually to get on board. And yes, it means that we have to be talking to each other. We have to be engaged constantly.
Hey, Howard, do you have 10 seconds?
You can have the last 2 minutes. Help yourself.
No. Well, I just want to follow up on that excellent point and on the political point that Dr. Cummings makes. There's a process going on right in front of our very eyes, which is this debt reconciliation business. This is the horse trading between the Republicans and Biden right now. On the chopping block are a whole bunch of the dollars that are needed to solve the kind of problems that we're talking about. They are being offered up right now. We're seeing with the president's budget being under peril. And we're going to have to make a decision to the Democrats as well as the Republicans. We're going to have to say to them, you need to remember who put you all in office. And it was black women and black men that put y'all in office. You are not allowed. No way will we let you walk away from the money that's out there now and throwing that money away and giving it to the Republicans as a trade-off for their malicious behavior when it comes to trying to deal with this debt ceiling thing. So this is a time for political activism, and it's also a time to hold the people that are our friends accountable and buck them up as they go into these fights.
And suffice it.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Dr. Cummings.
Absolutely. I mean, shoot, they're not talking about giving back all those tax cuts that they've gotten consecutively from the Bush years on. They're talking about cutting essential services, essential benefits that people need to survive and to thrive. And by the way, I don't think it's an accident that it's the very programs and resources that our communities disproportionately need in order to survive and thrive. And so this is a part and parcel of a larger issue. When we're talking about structural racism, it starts with public policy. And what Speaker McCarthy is doing is absolutely criminal. And unfortunately, what the Democrats allowed over the last 2 years when they allowed the child tax credit and certainly the child allowances to be repealed, basically reversing our opportunity to actually reduce childhood poverty, is criminal as well. We need to be on top of it when it comes to public policy and politics.
And suffice it to say, and we've said this for so many years, black people aren't the only ones in this country who are receiving public assistance, who are struggling in underserved communities. We may be arguably more visible because of the cities, and that's where the media coverage is. But we are only, 12% of this country? There are a whole lot of other people who don't look like us who would also be impacted by everything that both of you said. And so I think that everyone needs to pay attention to what's going on Capitol Hill, lest they find out that they will be impacted. And of course, our community, we really need to read this report and pay attention not only to what you're putting in your bodies, but also how you're putting in your minds. We got to pay attention. Dr. Reed Tuckson, Dr. Maya Rockymore Cummings, thank you both for talking to us. We will be in touch.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, May 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.